just thank you for that, Lord. Man, we had, how many people were here Good Friday in this room? Of course, we were supposed to have it in the amphitheater over at UNC. And, well, you know why we didn't have it there. But there were, I guess about 20 or so of us. And then probably about that many from seven different churches, including a Southern Baptist church, a Pentecostal church, a Missionary Baptist church, a Wesleyan church, a Seventh-day Adventist church that hosts us here, Pioneers, I think it's a Methodist church plant, and then whatever we are. I mean, you know, we're non-denominational church. There you go. Charismatic church. Is that? Oh, okay. That's what we are. Okay, good. Just church. So it was just people were walking out going, we need to do that more than once a year. And I'm not saying this to make you feel bad if you didn't make it. I'm just saying as a testimony, encourage your hearts. There was such a fellowship of the Spirit in the room. And the worship was done by the Baptist church. And the Pentecostal brought the benediction. And I mean, it was the Missionary Baptist brought the opening. And the Wesleyans brought the communion. And I don't know about you, but that just gets me excited. And I've been around long enough to know that a lot of people have good intentions in talking about unity among the body. But unless the Spirit of God does it, unity is very, very difficult. I mean, you can maybe gather a few people together, but there's still just something that just doesn't click. But when the Spirit of God comes on it, it's like how blessed it is, the Bible says, when brothers flow together in unity. Amen. It's like oil, you know, which represents just the flow of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, Good Friday was awesome. But I've just titled this Easter sermon, if you want to call it that, A Risen Jesus Still Appears. A risen Jesus still appears, but why and for what purpose? Because to be honest with you, on this Resurrection Sunday, I don't mean to be trite, but we don't really need another nice sermon on the resurrection. What we really need is an encounter with a resurrected Christ. Come on. Yes. All right, y'all are with me on that. Nice messages are good. But unless they bring me into an encounter, they only serve to make me more religious. In other words, I might know a lot about God, but do I know Him?
Come on. Yeah, that's
right. I might know all the facts about Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, but do I know Jesus in my heart? Is He my friend? Is He my Savior? Is He my lover? Is He my Lord?
Because He ain't religious.
That's true. And He's a resurrected Savior. I need Him to talk to me. How about you?
Amen.
We all need Him to communicate with us this morning.
Yes.
We all need Him to touch us and open the minds of our understanding. We need the promise of the Holy Spirit to anoint us all to think like Jesus, read the scriptures like Jesus, live a holy life like Jesus. Come on.
Yes.
And do the things Jesus did.
Come on.
He went about healing all who were sick and oppressed by the devil. That's why we want to pray for the sick this morning. In other words, He wants to open our minds to see and hear. This is what my heart is hungry for. I don't know about you. This is what my heart longs for. This is what I'm believing is possible in our generation, in our community. On Wednesday night, a few of us gathered over at UNC in a classroom for our Passover prayer meeting. Taking communion, celebrating Jesus as our Passover lamb. And really, Sarah and Ben, a couple students led us in worship. And then we just prayed for each other. And it was such a powerful time. My heart was so hungry going into that. And then as I left, I could hardly go to sleep that night. Because I was like, Lord, You're moving upon Your people again. In a real and a powerful way. Because again, knowledge puffs up, but the Spirit of God builds up inside of us. And that's truthfully what the world needs. Not just more talk and good messages. Consider that Jesus still appears. And even if you go back to Acts 8 and 9, actually in Acts 9, this was about 8 to 9 years after 30 AD when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. I don't have time to read this, but I just want to mention this. There's this guy named Saul. How many of you guys remember the Apostle Paul?
Yeah.
Guy named Saul, and he was persecuting the church. In fact, it was his joy to go out and pull out women and children, take them to prison. He was getting permission to bring people from far away who called themselves Christians. And well, actually, that word didn't exist yet, but they believed in this Jesus. And as a very religious person within the Jewish sect of the Pharisees, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees
until
he's on his way to this town one day and a risen Jesus. Now, remember, this is 8 or 9 years after Jesus had ascended to heaven. A risen Jesus appears to him. It says a bright light. And he speaks to him. He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he tells him these other things. And it says the people that were with Saul didn't see him, but they could hear. And I thought, that is so interesting. I wonder why a risen Jesus appeared to this man and changed history. But yet those who were with him didn't necessarily see it. You see, as we look at the text this morning, I want you to understand that it's not just about mentally understanding something, but what we all need is for a risen Jesus to encounter us in a real and living way.
Come on.
Some of us may physically see an open vision of him, like we're going to see in a minute in a testimony. Others have never had that experience, and that's okay, because I know, just like you do in Michael's testimony, that a risen Jesus appeared to me. I'll never forget that day when I could see, like I was talking about this on Friday, I could see that Savior nailed to the cross. It finally clicked with me, and I grew up in church. But it took me 19 years before I really got it, because I took a spiritual interaction.
Yeah.
Let's roll. Do you have that video? This is just a 4-minute little testimony. Not from somebody I know, but I was really curious as he's getting that ready. And just search around online. You can find hundreds, probably thousands of people that have a testimony even today. They claim that they've seen Jesus and he's communicated something with them. And this guy here, I thought this was a really cool one. So do we have that? Oh, there it is.
Fear had become a daily part of life for Joseph, who lived with parents who were addicted to drugs and alcohol.
My life at home as a young boy was chaotic, full of drugs, a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting, a lot of physical abuse.
When he was 5, his mother was driving under the influence when she was involved in a devastating crash and suffered from a brain injury that caused memory loss. Joseph says that's when their relationship dissolved and rejection set in.
Confusion, sadness, fear. She didn't recognize me at all. She didn't even know she had a child.
The physical abuse from his father continued until he was 11 years old. And as a teenager, he began looking for validation in all the wrong places.
That's when I began to start doing drugs, medicating that pain of losing and feeling abandoned by my mother. I went to a rave in Atlanta and got it introduced to ecstasy and LSD. It stemmed from that into cocaine, and then that stemmed into meth and heroin.
He spent the years of his early 20s in and out of prison for selling and using drugs. He would get clean while locked up, but once released, he was back to his old habits. Joseph was gaining money and attention from the drug cartel, but he was never completely satisfied.
Yeah, the drug use, it took away the pain for the moment. While I was in that lifestyle, I really knew that everybody was out to get everybody else. And so I didn't trust anyone.
At 28, he was robbed 3 times in a year, almost losing his life to the violence. He decided to walk away from it all in hopes of getting clean for good.
That last time was really scary, and they robbed me and handcuffed me and chosen to leave that life, and the only way I knew how to leave it was to just leave everything I own. I was homeless, so I left all my cars, boats, dogs, everything, and I just started walking the streets.
He wandered for nearly 6 months without a home. One night, he was trying to rest in a school baseball dugout when he had an unexpected encounter.
That night, the mosquitoes were terrible. I couldn't sleep, and I was really restless, and I sat up, and I just cried out to God. I said, God, why have you let all this happen to me? And immediately after I said that, Jesus appeared to me as a man. I mean, he just looked like a regular person. And he looked at me and he said, I love you and I have plans for you. And then he just disappeared. It felt like liquid love. Like, it just felt like someone had hugged me so well and in such a sincere way that it set me free immediately. I just came to my senses and was like, all right, you have plans. I'm going to follow you. I want to see what these plans are.
Experiencing God's love led him to get the help he needed for addiction, and he entered a faith-based recovery program. There, his heart continued to heal, and he found his place as part of God's family.
I spent a lot of time in the Bible, and then a lot of time reflecting, just hanging out with Jesus. He was filling in the voids and mending all those areas of my heart that had been broken.
After 10 months of participation, he successfully completed the program. Now, 12 years drug-free, he says his feelings of fear have been replaced by God's unconditional love and forgiveness.
He's never left me. Like, he's so kind to me. He keeps me going in the right direction.
Joseph is a devoted father and husband. He says the plans God showed him that night in the dugout are clear today. He is actively involved in church ministries and shares his story with others, passing on the joy that he's found through a real relationship with God.
Give Jesus a try. He will not let you down. There's no place that you can be. There's no darkness. There's no bottom that he can't pick you up from. And he will change your life forever. And he did it for me.
Yes.
It blows me away. It blows me away that Jesus is still appearing to people after all these years. Granted, I may have not seen him physically like a man as in this story, but have you ever experienced liquid love? Now, I know about that. I can tell you about liquid love that Jesus has poured out on me and how powerful it is. And I just pray for those that are bound by addictions, as in this testimony, that the liquid love of Christ would reach them, Lord. You know, for those family members that we just stand for this morning, we prayed for them. Look at where this all started, though. Resurrection morning, he appears three times and to three different groups of people, and they're all in Luke 24. Let me remind you that Luke wrote a volume one and a volume two. This is the last chapter of volume one, which is the Gospel of Luke. And then it picks up in Acts chapter 1. So in the order in your New Testament, you can skip over John for the moment. We're not going to do all this today, but I'm just filling you in because the same guy also wrote the book of Acts. And in the last chapter of volume 1, he's testifying. He's writing about these three different appearances because, see, in every appearance, there's a story. Every time Jesus, just like his testimony, he appears, there's a purpose. So that's what I want to look at, is what are the purpose here for these three things? First appearance, first purpose, is to show you that he is real by fulfilling everything he said. The way I know God's real is because he said things to me even before I knew him that came alive. All right, I'll illustrate that in a minute. Let's look at the text, Luke 24, 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you. Remember how he spoke to you. And when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Yeah, there's just something about us humans that need to constantly be reminded of what he said.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that about yourself? Like, I'm just forgetful. Like, what have you said, God?
Yeah.
Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, you remember her? Joanna, Mary the mother of James, which is Jesus' brother. Okay, so Mary the mother of Jesus. And the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Now look at this, this is so wild. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. Another translation says their words seemed like nonsense. And they did not believe them. Except Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. Has anyone ever told you a story that just seemed like nonsense? It was just like, this is far-fetched. You've never told a tale like that, but I never forget one of my kids came home in the seventh grade. I've told this story before, but there's a lot of new faces in the room. You haven't heard it. It's just, it illustrates the point. He came home from middle school in the seventh grade, and he had a Christian friend in the school, and this friend said, come on, Ben, don't you think the Bible is just a lot of allegories? Now, again, this is goes to a Christian church, but believed that the Bible was not literal, but was just full of fables and allegories that teach moral lessons. He said, come on, Ben, I mean, go back to Adam and Eve. Do you really think it's possible for a serpent to talk? So Ben comes home with a good thought, like, Dad, you know, this is what he said. And my response was this. Well, I know what you mean. That's a tough one. But you also have to consider that the very foundation of our entire faith is that a dead guy came back to life. In other words, this is completely supernatural. Jesus walked on water. Multiplied bread and fish. I mean, parting of the Red Sea by Moses. This is a completely, it offends the mind to reveal our hearts. This is what Jesus is good at. And so even his followers, the 10 here, because we were not including Peter, and Judas was already, had done his thing. But these 10 people are looking at it, and I'm like, wait, let me get this right. So Jesus's mama told the big 10 apostles that she'd seen Jesus, but all of them except Peter didn't believe her. I don't know about you, but whatever mama says, I'm going to believe it. But mama said, I've seen him. What is going on there? That after everything that's been said and done, I mean, after all, hadn't those 10 guys also been there in Cana when he brought Lazarus out of a tomb after 4 days? Yet they still not believe? Where are our hearts this morning? Why do we have such a hard time believing? I don't think you have a hard time believing in the resurrection because you're here this morning. You have a hard time believing what he said. That what he said to you, what he said about you, what he said about the direction of your life, that he is faithful, that those words will not return void. Amen. So that's one of the big purposes of encounters with Jesus, a living Christ. The second one is to show that the scriptures are true and reliable and that those with spiritual eyes can see him. Amen. This Bible right here, this Bible is living and active. It says about itself that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. This thing is not just a book. It passes every literary test. It goes beyond the works of Plato, okay, or the Iliad and the Odyssey. What historians do and scientists of that is they test and they match up the number of manuscripts to see how reliable they are. I don't have time to go deep into that. I can tell you afterwards. But this book right here, it's got thousands and thousands of matching transcripts that all measure up, that all are consistent with one another. But more than that, let's look at what happens next. Here's what we want this living book, this living Christ, to do in our hearts today. This is the next verse. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. All right, are y'all getting the picture? So there's two guys walking 7 miles. And then a risen Jesus, and apparently in a glorified body, comes and starts walking with them. But did they know who he was? Now, it's not certain, but the book of Mark mentions Clopas. Okay, one of these guys' names we're going to read in a minute was Cleopas. The book of Mark mentions Clopas, who was actually Mary, Jesus' mother, her brother, which would, correct me if I'm wrong, make that his maternal uncle. It's possible, okay? It's possible. Even if it wasn't his uncle, we know that these two followers were part of the company of people that followed Jesus all the time. So how is it possible to be walking along talking? Jesus walks up beside you. You don't know it's him. Let's get deeper into the story. But their eyes were restrained so they didn't know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And you have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping, there's hope again. Let hope come alive. Remember the song? But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he spoke to them. Now look what happens next. Oh, foolish ones. Now, remember, they still don't know it's Jesus. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then here comes the greatest Bible study of all time. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, wouldn't you like to get that YouTube video? He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, but they still don't know who it is. Then they drew near to the village where they were going on their 7 mile hike. And he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him and are like, no, we like this Bible study. Can you just stay with us tonight? Abide with us, for it's toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. And now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took the bread. He blessed and he broke it and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then, like that man's testimony, boom, he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us, you see, sometimes you're understanding that the Lord is communicating something. You may not recognize that it's God, but in hindsight, you go back and there's like, there was something about that. There was something burning in me. The way I would think about it, the most experience I've had is something is coming alive in here. not just necessarily here. It's not a mental thing. It's there's something in the mind of my heart that's just coming alive when Jesus is communicating. When I'm having an encounter that I know, like, the Lord wants to say something to me. So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered together saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." That's what we like to say on this resurrection. Yeah. "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Real quickly, what does bread represent? The body of Jesus, or the Word of God. Jesus said himself in the desert, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every what? Every proceeding word that God speaks. Also, remember back in the Old Testament, he gave bread or manna in the desert. And Jesus said in John 6 about that, "I am the bread of life." So when he was pouring that out, Jesus saying, this was a part of me. "He who comes to me," he goes on, this is John 6:35, "he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Why? Because that thing just comes alive on the inside. Have you ever experienced that? Something that goes beyond your mental understanding is birthed on the inside. The bread, it represents him in every word he has spoken. There is something powerful about the breaking of the bread. As his body was broken on the cross and the veil was torn open, literally the spiritual realm was rent. It was torn open. He made it possible for us to get new hearts and understand what was written. Do you see that? The purpose of the second appearance is to show that he is the bread. The scriptures are true. Spiritual eyes can see it. And finally, the third appearance and purpose, and this is probably, I don't know, I can't say this is my favorite because I like all of these, but this one's really good, is to open the minds of our understanding in order that we might recognize our need for the power of God. We are a world in desperate need of a demonstration of the power of God. So you remember at first he's appeared to the women, and then he's appeared to those two other disciples, followers. Now, look, what verse are we in? Verse 36. Now, as they said, are you guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. This is the apostles, okay? And said to them, I'm almost done here, "Peace to you." In Hebrew, shalom. But they were terrified and frightened. And suppose they had seen a ghost or a spirit. What would you think? You're just sitting there, probably dismayed because of everything that's just happened, trying to have hope come alive. Trying to, like, "Hey, Thomas, do you have anything?" "No, man, I don't know. This is all, like, hope deferred." Proverbs says hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a desire, what is it? Desire fulfilled is like a tree of life. Those guys are in there looking for the tree of life. I mean, that's what I'm seeing here. That's what I feel. And all of a sudden, he's standing there and they're terrified, frightened, and think that they're seeing a ghost. And he says to them, "Why are you so troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, and he said to them, "Hey, do you got anything to eat?" Don't you love Jesus? He got a sense of humor, doesn't? I think this is good news for me in glorified bodies when we go to heaven, is there still going to be food. We're still going to be eating. Who's got the ham in the oven right now? Come on, tell the truth. You're like, yeah, pastor. Come on, let's wrap this up because grandma's ham, it's cooking. You know, they go for the all-you-can-eat fish fry. Anybody down for the fish fry? What's the next verse? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And here's the issue. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, the Torah, the old covenant, the prophets, and the law. Sometimes we don't really get it. Have you ever read this book and then you read it again and it looked like a different book? Like, who changed the Bible? No, this is still the Bible Mom gave me when I was 15. It's the same Bible, but Holy Spirit changed the Bible, but He didn't change the Bible. He changed my understanding of it. And on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would change an understanding of what He said in His Word and what He said to us in His Rhema, His proceeding words into our hearts, because it'll change our lives. It'll change the world around us. Let me finish the text and we'll pray. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." In other words, he's saying this sentence we just read is the point of this whole law and the prophets. It's that I, the Son of Man, the Son of God, have come, and it was necessary for me to suffer and to rise from the dead as the perfect Passover lamb. How many people have ever done the Seder, the Passover Seder? The perfect Passover lamb. He was without sin. He was inspected and slaughtered. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. All the world, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Whew. Why is it important for us to understand this? Because it says that we are witnesses. It's in order that we might be a witness. We might be a testimony. We might be a recollection. We might be a transmitter of this good news. How do we do that? By demonstrating the gospel. Receiving the promise. He says, "I'll send the promise of the Father, which is coming at Pentecost in 50 days. The Holy Spirit." Well, I mean, it was at that time. The Holy Spirit's already been poured out. But that's the feast. That's the thing that we celebrate 50 days from now. You see, because the Holy Spirit is really a fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham. Remember how he made a covenant with Abraham? That's where this all started. And he made a promise to him. That count the stars, look at the sand. That's how numerous your descendants shall be. What happens in 50 days after the resurrection is the Holy Spirit is poured out and every tribe, nation, and tongue is represented in Jerusalem, and Holy Spirit fills all of them. This is a fulfillment. What does that have to do with you? The Holy Spirit is a seal of your inheritance from your forefather Abraham. You say, as adopted Jews, we have been engrafted. We have been engrafted into that inheritance. So Abraham was called a friend of God in the scripture. The primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring you into intimacy and fellowship with Him. I just want to challenge you. Study Abraham's life in this season over the next 50 days. So I'm taking this challenge. from today up to Pentecost. Study the life of Abraham and ask the Holy Spirit this question. You ready? What is my inheritance? Study the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Read on. What is my inheritance? Then go in your concordance and look up every mention of Abraham. In the New Testament, he's mentioned a lot. A lot. Romans, Hebrews. He's all over there. What is my inheritance? In other words, what did God give to my forefather Abraham that is also rightfully mine as a son or daughter of the promise? You're the continuation of the fulfillment of the covenant promise God made with him. And we need to walk that out. You see, that's where we are on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter morning, is we're celebrating, yes, but now it's time to do something. And it's called walk out the promise that we have from Abraham. Amen. Why don't you guys stand with me? And if you you raise your hand this morning to start a relationship with Christ, come up here when we're done. Come up here. We got a whole row of people up here that can pray for you and just stand with you, rejoice with you. But the primary thing that I want to pray right now, Sarah, if you just join me up here, is that the power of the Holy Spirit would open the minds of our understanding. To understand and to reflect and to know what God said through his word and through his voice. Amen. So, Lord, we just lift our hands to heaven this morning. And we just thank you that you made a way. That the veil was torn in two in the temple. So that now by your blood, we can boldly come before the throne of grace.
Yeah.
We can boldly enter in. Lord, and in that place of intimacy and communion, Lord, we just thank you that every word that you've spoken would come alive in our hearts. We ask you that every word that has been spoken, that has been written, would come alive.
Yes.
I pray for those who have never opened the Bible, Lord, that as they open it, God, you would reveal yourself to them.
Yes, God.
For those who have read it a million times, God, I pray that as we open the Bible, it would be like fresh breath from heaven. Lord, it would be a now word. And Lord, we're walking with you all these years. Well, Lord, we don't pretend to have seen it all or to know even what we've missed. But Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal yourself to us. Reveal yourself as we continue to walk with you on this journey of life. Lord, let us know when you're there, Lord. Let us know what you're saying, what you're communicating, that we might be a testimony of the good news of heaven. We just thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We love you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you and give you his shalom. Be blessed. Enjoy your celebrations today. Come up here if you need prayer and just have a wonderful day. We love you. You can be dismissed.
Yeah.